Lord's risen. You know what my message is going to be today. Tom read it there. Christ is risen. He's risen. Had Brother Tom read that portion for us to see the resurrection from the grave of our Savior. Oh my, after his death upon the cross. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 27. We'll read a little bit in Matthew 27 before we go over to Matthew 28. Oh my. Now the chief priests and the Pharisees had asked, they come before Pilate, and they asked Pilate if he could send a guard. He could send a guard to the tomb of Christ because they had heard him say that he was going to rise again on the third day. And so they asked Pilate to send a guard there, and they would set a seal on the tomb. And the guards there, now if the guards there let their prisoner go away or let anybody go away or anything was to happen to the body, they would be on the penalty of death. Just like, that's why that Philippian jailer was going to fall on the sword. He thought the prisoners had escaped after the great earthquake, but none of them have gone anywhere. And so he realized, you know, God gave him grace to realize it's the mercy of God. God had mercy on him, didn't he? He says, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe. Just look to Christ. Oh, my. So they asked that a guard be placed at the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they remembered again that Christ had said that he would rise again on the third day. Look at Matthew 27, verses 62 to 66. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, sir, we remember that deceiver. Look what they called our Lord. This is a man who knew no sin, did no sin, and they're calling him a deceiver. They're the deceivers, aren't they? Wicked men. Religion's wicked. Any form of it. It's just wicked what men think about God. And think of this too. They're going to go. They don't know who he is. Do you think that a seal set by guards is going to stop the Lord from rising from the grave? It's the Lord. They didn't know who he was. He's the Lord of glory. Nothing's going to stop him. Right? Remember, he sent. Why was he sent? To redeem us. Then he rose for our justification. He has to rise for our justification. It's all being planned and purposed in God's eternal covenant. Can anyone stop God? No. No one. And they say they worship God, and then they call the Son of God a deceiver. How deceived they are. See, that's our state, though. We can't look at them and say, well, look at those guys. That was our state before the Lord saved us. We're the same. We all come from the same quarry of humanity, don't we? Right? We're all hewn from the same quarry. My, oh, my. Look at this. Now, the next day that followed, day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, sir, we remember that deceiver said, well, he was yet alive. After 3 days, I will rise again. Wonderful words. I will rise again. Oh, isn't it make your heart warm? Wonderful. I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure, that's with a seal, until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse from the first. Pilate said unto them, you have a watch, go your way and make it as sure as you can. Just go ahead, take a watch, go ahead. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Oh my, the devices of wicked men. But you know, God can use the devices of wicked men to glorify him. Again, we're taught this by the conduct of the priests and the Pharisees after he was buried. These unhappy religious men, they remembered what he said. They remembered that he said, I'm going to rise again. Look at verse 63. After 3 days, I will rise again. They remembered that he said that. My, oh my. You know, men thought they would stop the resurrection of God here. Man thought they were going to stop the resurrection of God. They said, we're going to make it sure. We're going to set a guard there. And no one messes with these guards. They're Roman guards. The people ain't going to mess with them. Well, normally, no, that's right. But we're not talking about a normal person here, are we? We're talking about God incarnated in flesh. His body is buried in that tomb. And he said, after 3 days, I'm going to rise again.
Oh, my.
Oh. They didn't know who Christ was. They had no clue who he was. So they went to Pilate. They obtained a guard from him of Roman soldiers. They set a watch over the tomb. And they did this so that they could make the sepulcher sure, verse 66 says. So that they could make it sure. But they really thought little about what they were doing. They were actually providing the most complete evidence of the truth of the resurrection. That tomb is empty. So think of this. So not only has a stone been rolled on, but there's been a seal set upon it, and it's been made sure. They were making it impossible. They didn't know, but they were making it impossible to prove that there was any deception. And they had no idea. No idea at all. They were just tools in the hand of God. Their precautions were all to become witnesses to the fact that Christ had risen from the grave. That he did rise from the grave. He did it to them, what is said in, for the wisdom of the world is foolishness unto God. See, these men thought, oh, wow, we're going to do this. We're going to trap him in there. His body's in there. No disciples can come and take his body. They didn't know who he was. See, that's man's wisdom, right? But the man's wisdom is foolishness to our great God. Absolute foolishness. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. He's going to do it right here, isn't he? He's going to ensnare them in their own craftiness. He's going to take what they did, right, to make it sure that people couldn't lie about the resurrection. A Roman guard sealed up. And I'll tell you what, no one messed with Roman guards in those days. you'd die. They wouldn't even think twice of putting a sword in you. My, oh my. And the churches, the history of the church is full of examples of similar kind. Sometimes things look so bad for the church that it often turned out for the good. When the persecution arose because of Stephen, what happened? It spread like wildfire, didn't it? What happens when you stomp on a fire? There's a whole bunch of little sparks that go all over the place, right? When the church was under persecution, it was like somebody put a foot on top of a fire. What happened? Poof. All according to God's purpose and plan. How do we know that? Because Peter wrote, remember, to the saints that were scattered in Cappadocia, Bithynia, all over the place. And he wrote from Babylon. My, oh, my. So it just scattered the church. And the church spread like wildfire. What harm did Paul, did imprisonment do to Paul? He just kept writing, didn't he? Read Philippians. That's called a prison epistle. Jim was quoting it. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. He's writing that in prison, beloved. By inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. My, oh, my. And then when he was under house arrest, how many of those Roman soldiers heard the gospel? He's even mentioned that there's some in Caesar's household who now are part of the brethren. All according to God's prophecy. See how God works? Man meant it for evil, right? They took Paul in prison to Rome. Man meant it for evil. He was even preached the gospel even more when he was in Rome. And when he was under house arrest, he was allowed to have guests. Oh my. So what does persecution do to the people of God today? Well, it just draws us closer to Christ, doesn't it? It just draws us closer to him when people persecute us for our faith. It just draws us. And the persecution we face is nothing compared to what some folks are facing around. It's real to us, right? It's real to us, but people, you just read Fox's Book of Martyrs. That'll just incredible what the persecution of God's people went through. But we go through it too with different things. But it always drives us nearer to Christ. Persecution will cause the born-again, blood-washed believer to seek refuge in he who is the refuge of our soul. Right? We flee to the city of refuge. Who's that? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's our city of refuge. We flee to him during persecution. So take courage by these things. A dear saint of old was imprisoned for heresy. His body was thrown to a pack of wild dogs who ate him completely. But beloved, his soul was received into glory. His soul was received into glory. Man could do that to him, but they can't destroy the soul, can they? Remember that. Man can destroy the body, but he can't destroy the soul. Oh my. So may we be patient when we find ourselves in days of darkness and take comfort from the very things that seem to be working sometimes against us are actually working for our good and for God's glory. And we can just look at the world and see that, right? We don't understand what's going on. But we trust in the Lord that he's sovereign. And he's going to work it all out for his will and for our good too, it says. You know, I think the hardest thing for us is just to rest in that, right? Just to stand still, yeah. Paul says in Galatians, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Don't go forward, don't go backwards, just stand right there. And who are we standing on? Christ, the solid rock, right? That's who we stand in. We stand in and on Christ, don't we? My, oh my. My. And God can make the wrath of man praise him, the scripture says in Psalm 76:10. He can. He can do it. One day, and I mean that one day, every single knee, every single person that's ever was born on this earth will face Christ. And every single knee will bow. Believers and unbelievers, and will say that, you know, Christ is King. He's King. Worthy is the Lamb, right? My. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's everyone. And my, oh my. There's a great day coming, isn't there? There's a great reckoning coming, isn't there? Are you safe in the ark? Are you safe in Christ? Right? Noah and his family were safe from the wrath of God, weren't they, in the ark? Christ is our ark of safety, isn't he? Are you safe in him right now? Are you trusting him? Oh my. Cast yourself. He's the only hope, I'll tell you that. Man, people tell you, no, it's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. My hope is all wrapped up in one person. The Lord Jesus Christ is yours. And because of God's grace, not because of anything I've done, not because of anything in me, I will one day hear the Lord say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy rest. Isn't that amazing? But some will hear, depart from me, you cursed, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. My. My, oh my. But you know the only reason? Think of this too, beloved. The only reason that we can rejoice Because we should have been over there, right? Hearing those same words, right? But why don't we?
Because he's risen.
He's risen. He accomplished what the Father sent him to do. Redeem his people from their sins. Purchase us with his precious, precious blood. Let's read Matthew 1, 28 to 10 again, what Brother Tom read there. Oh my, he died on the cross. He was buried. He spent 3 days in the tomb. And then he rose again, beloved, just like he said he would. And that seal and those Roman guards couldn't stop nothing. Who can stop the hand of the Lord? Who can stop him? No one. Praise God, he had mercy on us. Praise his mighty name, he had mercy. In his love, he had mercy upon us. Look at this. In the end of the Sabbath, it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. That's just the grave. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Look at this. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone. The stone's gone. The stone's been rolled back, beloved. Oh my. And this was a big stone. Stone from the sepulchre door and sat upon it. He's like, he rolled it away and then he sat on top of it. Could you imagine? We can't even fathom what an angel looks like. One angel, I believe they're warriors, because one angel killed 100,000 men. They're just probably decked out, and I just envision them with a sword and all that. That's just me, though. But however they are, I don't know, but I think that they're like warriors. They take care of God's people, too. We know that. But here he is. He's rolled back a stone, a mighty stone, and he's just sitting on it. That's just an angel. That's just one of the Lord's creations, the angel of the Lord. And he's sitting on the stone. My, oh my. And what did the Lord say? He said, I could call 6 legions of angels. Peter put down the sword. I could call 6,000 legions. That's 6,000 men in one legion. One angel killed 100,000 men. You've heard me say. He's basically saying, I could call enough angels to destroy the whole world. Put your sword down. I have to go to the cross. I must. Why? Like we saw in Sunday school, to redeem his people from their sins. Oh, my. Look at this. And for fear of him, or his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow, that being the angel. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Now, I'm telling you what, these Roman soldiers, they're military men. They're strong men. They've been in battles. They've seen things that we wouldn't even want to see. My, I'm so thankful for that God in his providence has people serve in the military to protect us, because we don't know. We don't know. And here, these men, it says, they're shaken. And then they become as dead men. It takes a lot to make these men shake. And here they are. They're so afraid, they're like dead men. And they're not moving, are they? They're not running. Do you notice that? What would we do? Right, we'd be gone, wouldn't we? They're not running. They're held there in place. And they are shaken. You know, they'd never forget this. They'd probably tell their grandkids about this. Now, they were told not to say anything, but I guarantee you, down the road, they said stuff. I was on watch one day, and this, I don't know what it was, this guy come down, rolled this huge stone away, and I just sat there frozen. I was so afraid. My, oh my. Now, maybe they didn't say a whole lot because they wouldn't want to admit that. I don't know. But let's just leave it at that, right? Oh, my. Look at this. And the angels answered, and said unto the woman, fear, look at this. Now, look at the difference here. The world, represented by them soldiers, right, are quaking with fear. They're so afraid, they're like dead men. That's how people are going to be when they see the Lord, right? They're going to, it's no joke. This is the sovereign of the universe. And so here they are like dead men. And look what the angel says to the women. Fear not. What does God say to us in Christ? Fear not. Fear not, my little flock. Oh, what a Savior. What a Redeemer is Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at this, he says. He says, fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here. Do you imagine what they thought of when he said that? When he said, well, he's not here. Well, where'd he go? Where is he then? Well, he's not here. For he is risen. He's risen, beloved. He's risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. He said, come and see where they put him. Come and look. He's not there anymore. He's gone. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell the disciples that, look at this again, he is risen. He's not dead. See, all the religions of the world, you can trace back to a man in the grave, right? He's gone. He who claimed to be God was God. He who claimed to be that he'd rise again on the third day, he rose again the third day. He's risen, beloved. He is risen. Oh, what wonderful words. The grave couldn't hold him. You know why the grave couldn't hold him? Because he's sinless. It's got no claim on him. It's got no claim on him at all. So, and he rose from the grave, right? And then went up to heaven, right? So if the law had no claim on him, does the law have any claim of those who are in him? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. So if Christ rose from the grave, and he did, if Christ is seated on the right hand of the Father, and he is, then we're going to soon be with him, aren't we? As soon as our pilgrimage here is done. And all that is time too. We don't know the time, but we know our time is in his hands, isn't it? He's got us. My, what a Savior. My, oh my. And it says, and they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. They have a mixture of fear and joy. Oh, it's not true of all believers. A mixture of fear and joy. But he says, don't be afraid. And they did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Look at that. What a wonderful Savior. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. The angel says, fear not. Now here's the Master saying, be not afraid. That's comforting words for us, isn't it? Be not afraid, my little sheep. My, oh my. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. So we have set before us in this text the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the grave. All four writers bring this forth, how our Lord was crucified, very, very clearly, and very clearly describing his resurrection. And the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the crowning proof that he has paid our sin debt. It's paid in full. All we owed to the law of God, he paid it. And he's victorious. We serve a victorious Savior, beloved. And he didn't need any of our help either, did he? He did it all. He did it all. My, oh my. Think of this. If he didn't rise from the grave, we wouldn't rise. Because our ransom wouldn't be paid, right? But he was raised for our justification. Again, as I said in Sunday school, to show that God was satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ. Think of this too. He overcame our sins. Everything that God demanded for our sins, he paid in full. I still marvel that the wrath due me was poured out upon Christ. Oh my. And not just for me though, for you who are believers too, and for all the elect of all the ages. And our sins, they were imputed to him. And he's sinless, dying on the cross, absolutely sinless, bearing the wrath of God in our place. And those precious words he cried. Remember one of the saints, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And those triumphant words of victory. It is finished. That's a cry of victory, beloved. That's a cry of triumph. It's finished. Tim James one time in a sermon I listened to, he brought forth, it's perfect. It's perfect. The sacrifice is perfect. Nothing for us to do, beloved, but look and live. And that comes from by God's grace too, doesn't it? It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. Oh my, he extinguished the wrath of God against us. He overcame the justice of God. He overcame the law of God all in our place, beloved. He was delivered for our offenses and he was raised again for our justification, it says in Romans 4:25. That's good news for sinners, isn't it? My, oh my. The first point I'd like to look at from this text is in verse 2. The glory and majesty with which Christ rose from the dead. What glory, what majesty is on display here? The power of God is on display here. Look at verse 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. A great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. Now, our Lord and Savior, God in the flesh, he didn't need the help of any angel, did he? No. But he rose again, and God sent down an angel, the angel of the Lord, to roll back the stone. Please God that his resurrection would be followed by signs and wonders, a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. He's conquered sin and death for us. Death doesn't have a sting it used to, does it? When we die, we go right to glory. My, oh, my. My, oh, my. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians. A glorious angel was a witness of his rising. He rose with a renewed body. And yet a body, real, true. When we rise from the dead, we're rise with a new body. We're getting a new body. No pain, no suffering, no more sore backs. Right? None. We'll be sinless in glory. I think that'll be the most marvel for us, is the fact that sin won't bother us anymore. Who's our worst enemy? Our flesh, right? Our flesh. My, oh my. Look at this in 1 Corinthians. Let us wait patiently for this glorious resurrection. Verse 51, we'll read to verse 58. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. All of us. All of us will be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Now, the last trump is the last trump. It's the great day of reckoning. We're going to see when the corruptible and the incorruptible will be raised. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, that being our body, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, that means that's a sinless body, right? And this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? Where's thy sting, death? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. Well, the law is being fulfilled, though, by Christ, right? But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What we do for the Lord is not in vain, beloved. Point number two, the terror which Christ's enemies felt at the period of his resurrection. Look at verses 2-4 to get the context of this. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. No spots on it. Pure white. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Now again, these Roman soldiers, they were professional soldiers. Tom Eustace said one time they were really the first professional soldiers in the world in that sense, because everybody else before that just took from nobles and all that. And they were professional soldiers. That's what they did. They signed up for, I think it was 30 year when they signed up or something. It was a long period of time, might have been 15, but they signed up for a long period of time. And some soldiers would actually retire in their 60s and have service from when they were 18 years old. So they, like Tom said, they were professional soldiers. That's what they did. They were soldiers. And look at there. They're used to dreadful sights. They're seasoned soldiers. And now they see a sight that made their courage melt like wax. Melt like wax. It was the appearance of one angel. Not a legion of them. One. And their courage just melted. And it says here, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. My, this is the type of thing. This is the type of things to come. What will the ungodly and wicked do the last day when they face the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? They'll melt like wax. They'll have nothing to say. The law will find them guilty. And they'll be cast into hell. My, oh my. That great white throne. That great white throne of judgment. And the only thing that makes God's people differ from the sheep from the goats is the grace of God. And we're saved, faithful as just as your ways, Lord. My, oh my. What will they do when they see the dead coming forth from their graves and assemble around the great white throne? What fears and terrors will possess the ungodly when they must at last meet God Almighty face to face in their sins? What terror. This is just an angel these men are seeing. It's not God Almighty. What terror will sinners see when they face God Almighty? Oh, that men would remember that there is a resurrection and there is a judgment and there is such a thing as the wrath of the Lamb. See, the Lamb came in mercy, didn't he? He came in mercy, beloved. Revelation says this. And the kings of the earth and the great men and rich men and chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. He's no one to trifle with, is he? For that great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? Who shall be able to say, hey, you know what, God, I don't agree with that. Poof. Off into everlasting torment. My. Fountain's open, eh? There's a fountain open right now for sin and uncleanness, isn't there? There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood. Why? Lose all the guilty stains, beloved. All of them. So much so that God looks on the believer and says, I don't even see your sin. Washed in the precious, precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my. Now let's look at here. Now let's look at these words of comfort. Point number three is, let us look at these words of comfort which the angel addressed to the friends of Christ. This is wonderful. Now, anyone ask one of the elect of God, and we'll just tell you we are sinners saved by the grace of God. We don't deserve the salvation, right? We don't merit the salvation, but God saved us. And we rejoice. And we marvel. We marvel that he saved us. We know what we are. We know who we are. We even know how much we sin after we've been saved, right? I was talking to a fella again this week. And I looked at him. I said, you know you're just a sinner, right? It was last week. I said, you know you're just a sinner, right? Well, yeah, well, you know, these people here, they're gonna be judged for their adultery and all this stuff. And I said, you're no better than them and neither am I. He kind of looked at me and got a little smile and he said, yeah, you're right. See, we can get to the point where we can start to look at others in self-righteousness. That ought never to be so for us. We're saved by God's grace. We're saved by God's mercy. And the only one who made me to differ from my brothers who don't know the Lord and my friends and my family who don't know the Lord is Christ. That's it. Now, do I pray for them all the time? Please, God, save them. If it be your will. You do too, right? We pray for our loved ones. There's a fountain open right now. It's open. Oh, my. And it's Christ Jesus our Lord. It's Christ Jesus our Lord. Look at these words of comfort now. Verses 5 to 8. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not. Fear not ye. Don't be afraid. That's wonderful. And notice it said unto the woman. Didn't say it unto the guards. Said it unto the women. Those guards are trembling. Their hearts are melting like wax. They got no courage left. And then he says to these women who are probably trembling, fear not ye. What did David say to Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth, I'm just a dead dog. Fear not, Mephibosheth. That's what God says to us, to sinners in Christ. Don't be afraid. My justice has been satisfied. The wrath of the Lamb has been satisfied. Now think of this. We just looked at that they hide their faces from the wrath of the Lamb. Who's the one who satisfied the wrath of the Lamb for us? The Lamb. My, oh my. Just gets deeper and deeper and deeper, doesn't it, beloved? Becomes more wonderful and more wonderful and more wonderful. The fact that we're saved from our sins, saved from the wrath of God, saved out from under the law, redeemed from out from under the law. It's wonderful. Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He wasn't there for asking questions. No, he already knew where Christ was. He says, he's not here. Again, could you imagine that they'd be startled with that? He's not here, for he is risen. And he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen, again, second time, from the dead. He's not in the grave anymore, and he's risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy and did run to bring his disciples. My, oh my. How these words cheer our hearts. Fear not. He's arisen. The tomb's empty. He's not here. He did what he said he would do. He's God. And he's not here anymore. He's gone. What a Savior, beloved. What a Redeemer is Jesus Christ our Lord. And what does this teach us? This teaches us that true Christians have no cause for alarm, whatever may come in this world. Why? Because he's risen. How can I quench fear when I see things on TV or see things happening in the world? He's risen. And I'm going to be with him by his grace and his mercy. My time on this earth is just a little vapor. So is yours. Just a little vapor. You know? We'll get taken to heaven. And if the Lord tarries, we don't know when he's coming back. If he tarries after we die, then there'd be some more stuff going on in the world. And then our fellow brethren will be going, he's risen. And people go, why aren't you afraid about things going on in the world? My hope is in Christ. My hope's not in things of this world. My hope's in the risen Savior. Because he lives, I'm going to live. He redeemed me. Oh my. And the Lord's going to appear in clouds of heaven, and the earth shall be burned up. I'll tell you what. And all the graves are going to open. This is going to happen. The Lord, as sure as the sun rises, the Lord coming back. I don't have any idea when, but he is coming back. Now, I may go home to glory before that. But if you or I don't go home to glory before that, if we're still alive at his coming, we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye, just like that. Isn't that be wonderful? And then the dead in Christ shall rise, and then everyone And there'll be the great white judgment throne. It'll be all over. And when's that going to happen? When the last sheep is saved. Right? Roll it all up. Roll it all up. It's all going to burn up. My, oh my. Some people say, well, when you think about that, then you have no care of the world or anything. No, we're good stewards. Right? But it is going to all burn up. And you ever think of this? This is something that's amazed me. Something I've thought about. I think I mentioned it once in another sermon, but think of this. This world. We have this world that we live on, right? Okay. Trees have grown since creation, right? And trees have died, and more trees come by, and animals lived and died, right? You ever notice we always have what we need? We got so much wood in this world to build things. Stones. Neil told me that on the farm there, he doesn't even have to dig stones up. They just start popping up because the earth moves them up each year. But think of this. This world has sustained us for 6,000 years now, and it's still going. It's still going, beloved. It's still producing food. Still growing trees, this earth. It's all because of God's providence. It's all because of His providence. My, oh my. So there are things in this world that occur and makes believers afraid because we're just flesh, right? But let us rejoice that we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and because He lives, we're live. Because He rose, we're going to rise. And the Lord says this, when these things begin to come to pass, lift up thy heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Just keep looking up, beloved. It's when we look down, we get in trouble. Just keep looking up. Just keep looking to Christ. And at that day, the wicked shall see how true was the word in Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. Chosen by the grace and mercy of God. Amazing. The last point I'd like to bring and finish with is the gracious message which the Lord sends the disciples after His resurrection. Look at verses 9 and 10. And as they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held Him by the foot and worshipped Him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go and tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Be not. Now this is the Master saying this now. Be not afraid. He says that to every one of us as Christians. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what's going on in the world. Don't be afraid of anything that can happen. He's the ruler of it all, right? And if we find ourselves in persecution, God will give us grace to go through that. Right? Just like Jim used to say, when somebody asked him, well, when will I get dying grace? And he said, when you're dying. Right? We don't need it now, but when we're dying, we will. Yeah. And we see people going through things and God giving them grace. Right? Saw our dear sister Kathy go through all that. The grace that the Lord gave her is amazing. And I see it with Dan too. It's amazing. With all of you. In different things going on in your lives. God gives grace, doesn't He? He gives us grace when we need it. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. Now there's some things I've asked the Lord, please take that away. And He said, no. His grace. I've learned now that His grace is sufficient for me. That no matter what His grace is always sufficient. And I'm still learning that. Right? I'm still learning that, beloved. So what mercy we see here? There's depths of mercy in here. Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee and they shall see me. They will. There's no doubt. That little word shall means shall. They will see me. There's no. He's not saying, well, maybe I'll arrive there. No, they're going to see me. And I love those words. Fear not, be not afraid. I love those words, beloved. Because again, look at one angel and those soldiers melted like wax. Their courage was gone. And yet the God of the universe, this is God in the flesh saying, don't be afraid. God says to us, fear not in Christ. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid for your soul, because it's already been purchased. It's redeemed. Do you know our salvation is sure in Christ? We may doubt sometimes. We may lack assurance sometimes. Doesn't change the fact that Christ has saved us. Right? We're His. He says in Isaiah, thou art mine. God says that about His people. I'm not going to get over that, are you? What a Savior. And the Father sent Christ to die, to redeem us. And the fact that God is satisfied with that, He says, the angel says, He's not here. He's risen. Where'd He go? Where'd He go? Well, if He's risen, where'd He go? You go to the top of a mountain? No. Remember, they were looking for, guys came to Elijah and said, Elijah, and they said, can we send out guys to go find Elijah? Or Elijah? Maybe he's on top of a mountain or something. God took him up. And Elijah's like, don't send the guys, and they still sent people. See, men, just our unbelief is so, such a plague. But he's risen. He's in glory. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Scripture says He's now interceding for us. And He says, I go and prepare a place for who? For you. That where I may be, you may be there also. He's risen. Because He's risen, we're going to rise from the grave, beloved. We're going to spend eternity, forever, with our Savior. All because of His mercy and of His grace. That's the only reason. That's the only reason. No other reason at all. Up from the grave He arose. Right? He arose with a mighty triumph over His foes. He's victorious, beloved. He shall not fail, and He didn't. It is finished. And then rose again for our justification. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise His name. Heavenly Father, oh, we come before Thee. We are but sinners saved by Thy grace and by Thy mercy. We are so thankful. So thankful for Your mercy. So thankful for salvation's plan. Thankful that You included us in that great number that You gave to Your Son. And thankful, Lord Jesus, that You redeemed us. Oh, what a great cost. You gave Your life for us. You who were absolutely sinless, spotless, gave Your life for sinners, the just one dying for the unjust. But that's not the end of the story, is it, Lord? Because You've risen. And we are so thankful to praise You, the risen Savior. And one day, by Thy mercy and by Thy grace, we will be blessed. We who are Your people will be blessed to see You face to face. Glory to Your name and honor.